Thank you for plugging into this Family Life News podcast, streaming issues-driven, family-focused news.
Welcome back to another edition of Real Answers with Christopher Anderson. Wednesdays during the Noon Report, we tackle the tough topics facing today's families with licensed mental health counselor Christopher Anderson. And today's segment is something that pastors and other church leaders will really want to listen to as we discuss the topic of mental health in our church members. Chris?
Yeah, Brandon, specifically, I want to look at and discuss when pastors and church leaders should recommend their congregants to seek outside help from mental health professionals like counselors or counseling social workers.
So what indications can pastors and church leaders look for when deciding when to refer?
Brandon, it's important to remember that spiritual concerns and mental health concerns are often related. So even if you decide to refer a church member or congregant for outside help, it doesn't mean that you cannot provide, as a pastor or church leader, ancillary support for your member. But when a person's concerns or issues are severe enough and you do not refer them to outside help, you can potentially cause harm, and you obviously don't want to do that. But know that as a pastor or a church leader, know your limits. Just because you're a pastor doesn't mean you're an expert on all the areas, of course. And that's the exact same thing with counselors. I don't have all the answers in all areas, and I'm not an expert on every single mental health issue. So when I have someone in my office that has concerns that I don't feel necessarily sufficiently equipped to handle, I do one of two things. I either seek additional supervision from colleagues, or I find someone else for that person to meet with that might have more experience in their issues. So I know that most pastors already are aware of that, but in cases of severe mental illness, such as emotional disorders like bipolar, major depressive disorder, or schizophrenia, you need to make referrals. Sometimes people will come right out and tell you they have these diagnoses, and then you can go ahead and make referrals simply based on what they tell you. Other times, it might take a little more discussion in order to find out that their issues are a little deeper or more severe. So if the person coming to you expresses concern, just explain to them that they can seek help with a Christian counselor who will be sensitive to their beliefs and also incorporate their personal faith into the process. You can also remind them as well that as a pastor, you can provide ancillary support. In doing so, just be careful that the person isn't becoming more dependent on you than their counselor or mental health provider. So if the person stops going for counseling and is now working exclusively with you, that is a red flag, and you need to make sure that your support is remaining supportive and not, we'll say, clinical in nature.
And when you say ancillary or supportive, what exactly do you mean?
Well, you can provide prayer support and just be there to let the person give updates on how they're doing. But I don't recommend meeting with these folks on a regular, consistent basis, like a weekly basis, in order to reduce the potential that they may move away from their counseling arrangements. So just simply explain to them and then hold firm your position on this. And this really is in your best interest as a pastor, as well as in the best interest of your members.
Now, what happens if a congregant is insistent that they meet with their pastor exclusively, or they want to discuss things that are too difficult or inappropriate for the pastor or church leader to handle?
This can be definitely a sticky situation for sure. The best thing to do is to keep it from getting to that point by being firm and making those referrals, and then explain to them clearly what you can do for them. If they continue to insist and it's clearly becoming kind of a personal or professional boundary issue, don't hesitate to stop meeting with that person. Remember, this is about operating above reproach as a pastor, in addition to making sure you're not overstepping your bounds as a professional. And yes, there might be initially some hurt feelings, but the risk of causing harm to your congregant or to your very own profession in your job there, even your personal relationships, becomes too great if you're not careful with doing this and setting those boundaries. And this is especially true with females seeking counseling support from a male pastor. Even in ancillary support meetings, it's best for a male pastor to have another female in the room, such as the pastor's wife or a female deacon or other respected leader in the church, to simply sit with you to pray with the congregant. And then if you choose to do this, of course, you'll need the permission from the congregant to do that, and then reinforce with the leader who will be joining that session that this is strictly confidential. But of course, any exceptions to that would be if that congregant member is in potential danger themselves or in danger of harming somebody else, or they disclose information about child abuse or child neglect that is occurring. At that point, you need to take the proper steps, and I think most pastors are mandated reporters. But of course, check with your state laws. You need to follow your state laws and guidelines to make sure that you are operating within what is required of you in a pastoral position.
You've been listening to another edition of Real Answers with Christopher Anderson. It airs Wednesdays during the Noon Report. We tackle the tough topics facing today's families with Christian counselor Christopher Anderson.